What's good, everybody? This is Abstract Dynasty, the show where we use stats, theory, and experience to challenge consensus, unearth value, and hone our craft as Dynasty players. I'm AJ, and today we'll be taking a gut check on the Superflex Rookie 101. Let's talk shop. So, after 3 long years, Trevor Lawrence is finally in the NFL, taken number 1 by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And after much speculation and rumor, it was finally proven that Mac Jones' San Francisco was a lie. They actually traded up for Trey Lance, allegedly the pick all along. But since the day that San Francisco traded up for the number 3 overall pick, there's been rumblings in Superflex communities about one question. Is Trevor Lawrence still the clear number 1 overall pick in Dynasty rookie drafts? So we're looking at the extreme talent versus the extreme opportunity. Start with the extreme talent, Trevor Lawrence. In case you've been living under a rock, he is the chosen one. He's just everything you want in a quarterback. He's young. He's got size, arm strength, and speed, decisiveness, pocket presence. He can improvise and anticipate well. He shows up in big games. His career average quarterback rating is 87.3, which puts him in that phenom tier according to Player Profiler. There's a reason he's been anointed since his freshman year at Clemson. He's about as tantalizing a prospect that's come out in the last 20 years. The Andrew Luck comps, the Peyton Manning comps are at the very least understandable. Now, the extreme opportunity, San Francisco. Enter Kyle Shanahan, who's been dubbed the chosen coordinator of sorts. With the exception of maybe his 2014 tenure as the Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator, just about everything he touches turns to gold. In 2009, as the Texans offensive coordinator, coaxes a career year out of Matt Friggin' Schaub under Gary Kubiak. Fast forward to 2012, as Washington's offensive coordinator, was the architect of Robert Griffin III's legendary rookie year, while RG3 finished as quarterback 5 on that year. But injuries hampered RG3's career, and after a couple more underwhelming seasons, the whole coaching staff gets fired, lands on his feet in Atlanta in 2016 as the offensive coordinator again, authors Matt Ryan's MVP season, makes the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan, by the way, finishes that year as fantasy quarterback 2. Finally gets the head coaching gig in San Francisco, brings the Niners all the way to the Super Bowl in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo, who finishes as a modest quarterback 14 on the year. So, who are you taking? Extreme talent or extreme opportunity? So, pure one-to-one prospect, advantage Trevor Lawrence. He has so few holes in his game compared to Lance and compared to most quarterbacks in this draft. There's really no reason for Jacksonville to have passed on him. There's a lack of established quarterbacks on the Jaguars other than Gardner Minshew, who may even get traded. And the minute Trevor Lawrence steps on that field, the only advantage Gardner Minshew is going to have left is that he's been a pro longer. They're both going to be learning a new offense at the same time. Minshew, in spite of stints of good quarterback play, is a limited athlete, and they're just not tied to him. Trevor Lawrence is the future. So I would say he has the better odds to start all 16 games as a rookie. Now, Trey Lance is probably the most physically gifted QB in this class, but does lack the polish that Trevor Lawrence has. Coming out of North Dakota State with an excellent, albeit small sample size of play, arguably more raw and can be inaccurate at times, there is a possibility that he could need some time to sit. That's within the range of outcomes. At which point, I think Jimmy Garoppolo would be a much higher threat to his ability to start the majority of the games for the Niners. What I will say, though, is financially speaking, Jimmy Garoppolo is more likely to be cut than traded. First of all, he's got a no-trade clause through the 2021 season. So if they plan on trading him, they would have to entice him to waive his no-trade clause. On top of that, he's due a $24 million salary this season, which is almost double what quarterbacks like Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick have signed for. Teams are not interested in paying that much for what might be a bridge or backup quarterback. And to cut him brings them to just under $3 million in dead money. Trevor Lawrence might be a little safer of a bet for some immediate floor. But what if Trey Lance does get on the field? What if we do get a quick resolution on what they do with Jimmy Garoppolo? What are those situations? Well, we're talking about coach and scheme, advantage is going to be to Trey Lance. For Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer's offense is going to largely be a question mark. First time NFL head coach is always a hesitation. You're not exactly sure what they're going to bring that's going to transfer to the next level. And the hiring of Darrell Bevell is kind of puzzling as well, largely uninspiring. Bevell, of course, was the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks in the Super Bowl and hasn't really done a whole lot of note since then, was Matt Patricia's offensive coordinator in Detroit and had about an 8-game stretch of really aggressive downfield passing with Matthew Stafford before his back injury. But I don't actually know whose offense this is going to be. Is it going to be Urban Meyer? Is it going to be Daryl Bevel? Is Daryl Bevel just kind of the QC to what's going to fly as a professional NFL offense? It remains to be seen what this actually turns into. Now, as far as Shanahan, the scheme speaks for itself. I'd go as far to say that the scheme is proven durable and almost QB-proof over the years. But it has been extremely run-heavy in the Niner era. The run-to-pass ratio was much more pass-heavy in 2020, and the whole team is shredded by injuries, including the defense. They're playing from behind with all of their offensive stars hurt as well. But in the heights of the San Francisco Super Bowl run, they ran the ball 51% of the time. Now, that's in the same realm as what Baltimore, New England, and Tennessee all did this year. Now, you could say that maybe that they ran the ball that much as a product of the quarterback options he's had in San Francisco. Because if you look back to his tenure with Matt Ryan, they only ran the ball 41% of the time in 2016. So Shanahan has proven that when he has the talent and the quarterback, he will air it down the field. So that's one extreme case. Now let's look at the other. Trey Lance is a great running threat, arguably the best in this class. Let's rewind back to 2018 when Joseph, not elite and never was elite, Flacco, was benched for Lamar Jackson. Coming out of the bye, Lamar Jackson had a serviceable 18-point floor in the second half of that season with Mark Andrews, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, and Willie Snead as his top receiving options. Now, 18-point floor is nothing to get crazy about, but the fact that he did that while throwing for over 200 yards just once, while the Niners as a team, in a travesty of a year with three different quarterbacks, averaged 270 passing yards a game, I really like Trey Lance's fortune of returning value if he was to get on the field. Trey Lance is obviously not Lamar Jackson, but we have an extreme rushing floor and extreme passing ceiling that we've seen in Kyle Shanahan. And I'm willing to bet that Trey Lance falls somewhere in between those two. And the fact that Trey Lance has better receiving weapons right out of the gate than Lamar Jackson did, which brings me to yet another advantage for the Niners, their weapons. George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and a great run game in spite of whoever they throw at running back is great. All three of those top receivers are excellent after the catch. That's a lot of free yards for a quarterback. You're not needing to push the ball downfield nearly as much to get that same passing output. They also have a great offensive line, and of course, he adds to that rushing floor as a scrambler, as a designed rusher, a threat at the goal line. The Jags aren't too shabby either. DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, Daryl Bevel bringing down Marvin Jones from Detroit, breakout running back James Robinson, and as much as the pick is puzzling, Travis Etienne as a receiving weapon, those all bode well for Trevor Lawrence as well. The O-line is in flux, though, which kind of makes you wince a little bit when you see what happened to Joe Burrow this year, in spite of his great start. However, Trevor Lawrence should have more negative game scripts with a far worse defense than the Niners have. Garbage time points are still points, and playing catch-up could give him a small bump. So as far as where I'm going, I want to point out one more thing. If we look at some of the quarterbacks that have been drafted recently, comparing situations, they fall into certain categories. When you look at guys like Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, they were all drafted into what I would consider healthy situations. The Chiefs were already a perennial playoff contender with Alex Smith. They already had a full stable of weapons between Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes was the final piece they needed to reach new heights. Say what you will about the Chargers' innate ability to choke away leads, untimely turnovers, missing field goals, what have you, but similar story. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler out of the backfield, and unsung heroes like Tyron Johnson and Jalen Guyton were all Herbert needed to seize the opportunity to start in week two and finish as offensive rookie of the year. And Dak Prescott came in for an injured Tony Romo and had Dez Bryant and Ezekiel Elliott and a stellar offensive line as a rookie. Later on, the Cowboys trading for Amari Cooper, drafting CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and was on a torrid pace until his 2020 injury. Whereas guys like Joe Burrow, who despite playing really well, ended up shredding his knee behind a terrible offensive line, Daniel Jones, probably being lucky he's escaped the same fate as Joe Burrow, but had significantly fewer weapons on a worse offense. And Sam Darnold, love him or hate him, how can you expect somebody to succeed with no defense, no weapons, no offensive line, and no coach helping you out? I wouldn't fault either pick, but if I have my choice, if I'm looking for the one pick that's going to vault my investment into a top-tier asset, more and more I'm looking at the quarterback that has the better situation. There will always be players that defy odds and drag teams to relevance in spite of incompetence, but it's exceedingly hard to project who that guy is going to be, let alone what you're allowed to pile on his shoulders for him to defy. Because if you fall on the Trevor Lawrence side of this, the question you need to ask yourself is, how dominant does Trevor Lawrence need to be to outscore Lance because he's in a worse situation than Lance is? Can you do it? Yeah, I think so. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's within his range of outcomes. There's a reason he was picked number one overall. But because he was picked first doesn't automatically mean he's the best. And conversely, how bad does Trey Lance need to play to be a bust? In a system that has done nothing but make quarterbacks play the best of their careers and turning absolute nobodies into household names. I guess the argument I'm trying to make is I don't think these two are as far apart as you may think. And I think value can be had in either direction. I would absolutely entertain the thought of trading out of my 101 to get 102 and something else. If that meant I was getting Trey Lance, I'd probably go target Jimmy Garoppolo just to cover myself. If this starts to become consensus and Trey Lance is the favorite to go 101 by the time most rookie drafts kick off, does that make Trevor Lawrence any less good than we think he's going to be? No. The thought of trading up to the second overall pick and getting Trevor Lawrence was unfathomable a month ago. Can you leverage the fortunes of these top two quarterbacks into a different asset that you trust more, that has a higher established floor and ceiling already if you're contending? Maybe guys like Justin Fields enter the fold. Time will tell. If you like these kind of quick hitters, don't forget to like and share the show. Follow on Twitter at Abstract Dynasty. I'll catch you next time.